This is Dave Gloetz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Today we're talking about an article that you wrote from last year on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2009, in the Chicago Reader, and the article was titled, Who Deserves to be Disqualified? The article talks about the nominating petitions for candidates in a couple of the Democratic primary election races for the state legislature, one race being between the incumbent state representative Deborah Mell and her challenger Joe Lacona in the 40th district, and then another race between the incumbent state senator Kwame Raoul, who is being challenged by L. Holfeld Jr., and that's in the 13th state senate district. The challengers to the incumbents had submitted nominating petitions that had signatures that were challenged by representatives of the incumbents. You describe how those didn't go so well for the challengers. One of the things that you mentioned is the several sets of government officials. You talked about clerks who ruled on the validity of signatures on nominating petitions. You talked about a hearing officer who ruled on legitimacy of certain aspects of nominating petitions. And you also talked about a sort of quasi-city agency, the Chicago Board of Elections. Who do these other characters that you're talking about, who do they work for?
They're all part of the same apparatus. The hearing officers are sort of freelancers. They're lawyers hired by the Board of Election Commissioners to oversee the first round of hearings. When there's a challenge regarding the validity of signatures, this gets at one of the requirements to make the ballot. One of the requirements is that each candidate collect a certain number of signatures from eligible voters who reside within the boundaries of the district for the office they're running for. And then those signatures are supposed to be legitimate in that they're signed by the actual people who live in the district. And what they do is they go, the first leg is where a clerk sits at a computer and examines the signature on the nominating petition against the signature on the voter registration card.
You know, it's interesting to me that the election board spokesman you spoke with, Jim Allen, he agreed with you that election law doesn't require that a voter's signature on a petition, on a nominating petition, has to match their signature on their voter registration card.
He had no choice but to agree with me because it really wasn't a matter of opinion, it's a matter of fact.
If that's true, then on what basis can an opponent challenge their signature?
Excellent question. This is the question that inquiring minds who edit my column asked. Everybody can't believe this. It's such a fundamental flaw in the whole process. And the only answer is this. No lawyer, as far as I know, defending has used that as a defense on behalf of a candidate. I'm waiting for them to do that. I put that in the column. Please, lawyers of the world, try this one out. At the very least, it will expose the utter hypocrisy of the Chicago Board of Elections and all their hearing officers as they concoct some explanation to justify kicking voters off of petitions, but at the same time, they're allowing Deb Mell to stay on the ballot.
Are any lawyers listening? The challenge has been issued. One more thing, Ben, the same spokesman for the Board of Elections, Jim Allen, I understand you had a conversation with him after your article appeared. He didn't think that you were fair.
He didn't like the tone of the column, which I'm not surprised. And my essential point is that this whole system is designed to protect incumbents. And he, of course, thinks that it's pure and fair.
What was his argument?
Well, there really is no argument to explain it's pure and fair, other than to say they get a fair shake, that there's a long and laborious process set up with hearing officers and clerks who carefully analyze all these issues at every step of the way, and that they have seminars to teach wannabe candidates what they have to know before they enter this process. So that's indicative of being fair, to which I would say that he's substituting the words fair for really what is just an enormous bureaucratic nightmare that is incredibly dangerous to anybody who enters without proper legal counsel or party endorsement, and that rookie candidates are very vulnerable, third-party candidates are very vulnerable. So it's really much a situation where the strong survive, meaning those people who understand the system the best, have the most contacts with the system, prevail. In addition, I just think that there's a natural tendency on the part of pretty much everybody in the system to want to protect the candidacy of incumbents Now, this is something which he would vehemently disagree with me on, but I just don't see how anybody who is not a working member of this system could disagree. It's just a natural inclination on the part of everybody to protect incumbents because on one level or another, you're all part of the same political party. You're all part of the same political team. If you're a hearing officer, to a certain degree, you owe your appointment, you know, to the same party.
One of the things I'm curious about is the state law that allows Chicago to have its own board of elections as opposed to having a state-run operation also says that even though the city funds most of the board elections, in other words, most of the employees are city employees, the heads of the board of elections, the commissioners, and the executive director are appointed by the presiding judge of the Circuit Court of Cook County. Do you feel like having the presiding judge as the person who appoints those people helps create that incumbent protecting system?
Yeah, the judges themselves are vulnerable to the political pressures of the party, probably more than anybody else. It's very important to get the party endorsement to be elected judge. They have to go before party slating committees headed by Ed Burke, the alderman of the 14th Ward. So just think about it. I mean, to a large degree, they know people who's watching them. If you're a hearing officer and you want to become a judge, you know what side your bread buttered on. I think it's unrealistic to say this is untainted by politics. From time to time, I like to examine the logic behind their explanation for what they do. And what I generally find when I do this, Dave, is that when they're acting on behalf of an incumbent, a well-connected incumbent who has violated one of the dozens of rules and regulations that govern this matter, they always seem to find some legalistic out that either prevents them from punishing the incumbent by banishing him or her from the ballot, as the case with Deb Mell, or allows them to justify keeping that person on, as was the case with Alderman Danny Solis in 2007. And yet when it comes to an independent or a challenger, they have this strict reading of the law. Literally every I has to be dotted, every T crossed, and sort of the explanation is, well, if you want to handle something as important as being a public servant, then you should understand how the basics of government work, and you should at the very least be able to make your way through this process. We don't feel sorry for you. I'm like, well, why doesn't that apply to Deb Mell? How come she doesn't have to know all the ins and outs of the election process? What about Alderman Danny Solis? How come he doesn't have to know all the ins and the outs? I just find it's sort of a curious switch. They're far more liberal and tolerant of errors by the Deb Mells and Danny Solises of the world than they are of wannabe state rep.
And I'll point out that what we're talking about here is the primary elections that are coming up next month in February, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you about those elections.
Oh, yeah. I've got a bunch of articles on tap.
All right. Well, on that note, Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, David.
This is Dave Glowatz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.